Hello and welcome to Through the Turnstiles podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football. Three has become two temporarily. James, you're flying solo. How are you?
I'm all right. I feel like I'm almost the glue here this season.
You are the sticky. Yeah, you are the glue to be fair. I say you're flying solo. I'm also here. But in terms
sticky
of,
something, man. It's not a nickname I want to have, but...
Well, so yes, you are here. Muzz is otherwise occupied this evening. So James is with us this week, as usual. Well, kind of as usual, three mini episodes, one per division, Championship, League One and League Two. This is the Championship edition. As always, just before we get into the meat and drink of it, if you could do us a massive favour and like the video and subscribe to the channel if you're watching on YouTube, that would help massively. If you're listening on Spotify, get yourself onto YouTube and like the video when you get the opportunity, because every little helps. James, Championship. There was not a lot of goals. I think there was 7 goals between 10 teams, so wasn't the most exciting of weekends. However, the Joel Nubles show / bandwagon rolls on.
Very strange turn of events at Arbroath. Can't remember what I predicted there, but the whole thing's just...
You predicted it.
One of those big.
See,
I saw
you
him.
You can't remember what you predicted. No, find well that you predicted an Arbroath once. Whereas I predicted
I did see highlights of this game. I went looking actually for more than I usually do, just to see how, like, if there is other aspects to Nubly other than the fact he scores goals. And there's a quality. I think it was on Twitter. It's like the magic feet or the dancing shoes or whatever the tag was. It's Nubly taking it by 2, 3, 4 folk, takes it to the goalkeeper, has a wee turn on it, then it gets tackled. Inside the box, like, good bit of skill, aye, but just get that trigger pulled and have a shot. And then obviously has gone on and scored, so...
He's become an absolute...
I don't know who I'm to critique, but... yeah, it's becoming a bit of a love-in down at Arbroath.
James Cragan, Arbroath player, is like, you know, usually strikers can occupy centre-halves, but Nubly occupies back fours. Which then lets the likes of McKenna, himself, get forward, get in the box, Stewart, and kind of make things happen. So they've still got elements of that, you know, Dick Campbell, kind of the way he likes to play. For other than being the great entertainers, it's still that 4-4-1-1, you know, with Nubly kind of top and McKenna off him. But to be fair, Arbroath went down to 10 men before the hour as well.
I don't want to say he's Messi-like, but that video I saw was... quite entertaining. He just sucks in the defenders, like you say, and he is a threat by the looks of it in all aspects. He's quite physical. The fact he's quite tall and has a good reach in him makes you think in that league straight away, oh, this team, especially when you go to Arbroath, this team is just going to go long. They're just going to punt it up to him. But then we see videos and we see clips of him taking ball in with feet, and not every goal is a headed goal. So he's all very well rounded. So it does become a bit more of a dual threat or a threat in many aspects, because he will just occupy everyone.
See, but yeah. See, for every tweet that you see about him, there's two tweets from our bro fans being like, "Oh, he's not that good. Just let him stay here till May."
Yeah,
please.
Well, aye. But you've said it as well, that if he does go back, then Livy have now got almost an abundance of strikers that could then...
Well, they play one up, don't they? It has been Bruce Anderson. Obviously, Shinny's come in and played an absolute blinder at the weekend there against Celtic. Mm. They've got Jack Hamilton, and they've got the Panintia, I think it is, who was actually Nubly's strike partner at Aldershot last year. So that's 3-1. Well, 4 if you count Shinny. Nubly coming back will be 5-1.
I don't know if he's finished. I don't know if his loan's up as well.
I can't see Martindale going to a 2, so Dick Campbell's got to be being like, right, I'll drop Nubly off at your front door, but who are you firing in the van to take back with me?
Yeah, we'll take him because he does everything we want, but there is, like you say, there's almost like a production line where, you know, Jack Hamilton comes back good, but he hasn't come back excellent, Hamilton, because there has been times where Hamilton's come on for Livingston, but he's not played full 90, or he's not played full however long he's been in, and scored and done really, really good.
I don't think he's started,
or been given a long run at it. Obviously, Martindale's obviously tried to play a different style with Anderson than perhaps associated with previously, but it was that clip of him that I referred to earlier, where he has taken it by 2 or 3 folk, and I'm like, right, shoot, right, shoot. And against, you know, without taking the humour away from it, he just, like, get a shot away earlier, but he has taken two touches, defenders come in, cleared the ball. So it is good for Hamilton, for example, to get that experience, get the goals. But we've seen there it doesn't translate into Premiership experience. So same thing will happen with Nublet. I think if you take him back, he might not get as many goals as he currently is, but there will be an argument to take someone back down. And it definitely does seem to be the way that Dick Campbell wants to play, where he has a strong focal point up front and then players who can rotate off him. And like I said last week, McKenna never sort of ceases to amaze me at this point with his track record.
For all we're seeing clips on Twitter, Nubly taking around 3, 4, 5 boys and the fans are absolutely loving him. 39.8, so 40% possession on Saturday there. 12 shots, 7 on target. Queen of the South, 20 shots, albeit only 4 on target, but it's the boys at the back that are maybe not getting the credit they're deserving for our growth just now, but they'll be more than happy just to let Nubly soak up and they'll just keep doing their thing.
Well, that's a clean sheet and the goal for O'Brien, who's
he's been well thought of for a while, yeah.
Yeah, just sort of keeps churning out decent performances. And a lot of folk, I'm surprised a lot more folk aren't looking at him because he's now been out of growth for a while and he's never really seemed to struggle. Getting himself a good age for a centre-half, he's someone that you know you can rely on. Goalkeeper-wise, I've never been overly convinced that our both are sturdy, but if you've got enough sort of quality in front of you, then you will end up with your clean sheets. And the style that Campbell likes as well is quite aggressive and in your face. So your back four is good, goalkeeper good, but it's also the players in front that get forward but also work back as well. I don't know if we're talking about John Hughes' style team, it's a good, honest bunch of lads, which I think Campbell's probably said a few times in his life as well.
And Queen of South, to be fair, I'm kind of tried everything to get themselves back in it. They started with that 4-3-3, almost like the flat three in the middle of the park, three up top, you know, Payton and Connolly just off Junior. They've then went 4-2-3-1 to try and get themselves back in it. They've thrown on Fitzpatrick. Eunice, who Muzz always talks about, has been a defender, a striker who became a defender. He played at the back, I think, and then he's went up front for the last 10 minutes as well. 20 shots. And without getting too statty, expected goals 1.7 to Arbroath 0.95. So for all it's a defeat at home against a side, you know, you're similar to Johnson, won't be too disappointed with the performance.
I don't know, I'd maybe disagree because if you're getting 20 shots with a nil return for that, then I think there is a bit to be disappointed with because, you know, you're maybe, I think it was Partick Thistle I was talking about last week, that you maybe look at the individuals and players have had good games and sort of hold your hands up at this point and say, you know, Arbroath probably was on a few people's calendars as a win in that division. Like, you get them stuck up and say, this is a 3 points for us. But for individual performances, probably, yeah, you'd be relatively happy at Queen of the South. Team performances, I would disagree that they've maybe tried too much and it's not been consistent and there's been individuals where perhaps the quality has not been there. I did wonder though that I think Muzz spoke about it a couple of weeks ago and it's been sort of cutting about any time I see Queen of the South. Willie Gibson last season got a good few goals from fullback. Mm-hmm. Do you think they've now, staff at Queen of the South have looked at that and gone, if we play him further up, almost as a wing back, maybe he'll get more goals because he'll be higher up and he won't have as much defensive duties to do. Do you think that's what's happened? Do you think they're trying to force him to contribute more? Or do you think they're more keen to have a more solid defensive shape and it's just not worked out for them in this game?
I think it's just one of those games where, like you say, 20 shots, you're just looking at your front players and saying, look, you know, give us a hand out here. I don't think they're going too far wrong, Queen of South. You know, for all we thought they might struggle, they're tucked in 7-6 points from 6. 3 off the playoffs, 4 off the bottom. You know, season could still potentially go either way. So
if I'm at Queen of the South, though, I'm looking downwards, going Morton potentially, but also potentially not doing much of anything. Hamilton, you're surely going. They should be good.
Yeah.
And Dunfermline last season were good. So you look down, you've got three teams below you that you know you presume would be higher up. and you've just been beaten even by Arbroath, a team who you thought would probably be below you.
I'm beginning any reason to panic.
Double check and make sure my coat's not on a shugly peg at Queen of the South.
Nah, I don't think there's any need to panic. And see, moving on to just, you know, teams who should potentially be doing better, we move on to Hamilton. Yeah. Hamilton, 33% possession. 33% possession. Is that what I said? Or did I say Hamilton?
Hamilton.
Aye, sorry. Ayr, 33%. Hamilton, 66%. Josh Mullen, central midfield. Over three.
That I don't understand. Explain that. You explain that to me if you can, please.
Energy is all I can think of. It's like legs getting forward, hitting the box type thing. I don't think they're short of bodies. Like, they've got Virtanen on the bench, who I really liked when he was at Arbroath. He's a good, I think, midfielder for the level. Ben Starlin on the bench has been playing at the back, but could probably do a job centrally. I just don't see it myself as to why he's maybe playing there. There will be a reason for it. I'm just not sure, to be honest.
Interested to see if anyone can confirm if he has played like further back. So he's been in like a line with a three, or he's been in front of a two, or do you know what I mean? Like, is he playing in behind the striker?
Almost a flat three with the central one slightly deeper, and he's just been off the right of that, I think.
What I'm wondering is in practice though, if people are watching the game, is he more likely to be just playing off the striker and going into the channels to try and get on it? Or if he's been asked to do a defensive job as well and then help transition into attacks with passes and energy, then that's, like we said before, not really his game. No doubt he can do it. He's technically good, but why not get him further up the pitch or out wide? And my reasoning for playing him further up the pitch would be get yourself into channels, get out wide and get the ball in. So if I'm at Hamilton, I'm forcing him to be a wide player, regardless of if he starts centrally or just ends up there.
He's maybe Taylor, to be fair, still trying to find his best team, because he's kind of went with the same three in there. He only made one change, didn't he? Popescu in for Hamilton, who was suspended, Jamie Hamilton. Whereas on the other hand, with their 33% possession and talking about a good bunch of honest lads, Jim Duffy can do no wrong.
Did I back them? Because I feel like I should have, and I don't know if I did.
You know fine rightly that you did, well done. Yeah. Again, I've backed the... Not even the draw, I've backed Hamilton. Did I know the team selection before I've made my prediction?
Have we not seen Josh Mullen centre mid? I think that, to be fair, I'll be honest, the only reason I've backed it is because the new manager bounced. Duffy for me is good, but
they're still bouncing.
I think he's probably not a league winner at this point with that team.
And see, to be fair, last week I've come on and speaking about Morton, and I was saying, you know, it looks like a Gus McPherson team. He's got 4-4-2, Muirhead and Riley up top. He's got solid back four. Home to Raith Rovers, Gus McPherson's rolled out the 3-4-1-2. So cheers for that, Gus. I don't know if he's went to match up with Raith. Or kind of why he's done it, but he's kept that front two of Riley and Muirhead, but should be doing damage at that level.
It's again though. Is this one more on the fault of Morton, where they've almost brought it upon themselves playing a Wraith team that we know has got a bit of dynamism and is a bit of energetic and come towards you, and you've not exactly left yourself for the most mobile of players to try and accommodate that. And
I think Lithgow he started left of a back three, and then at half time they've shunted McLean to the left of the back three and put Lithgow in the middle of the three. So read into that, yeah, what you will.
Hasn't made much of a difference for them defensively. We've no conceded second half, but at the same time, it's not.
Lithgow's played the best football of his career in left of back three.
Yeah, this is true, but he's also just coming off the back of an injury and has never been the most mobile. But even then, when I'd seen Wraith, they didn't seem to be as attacking it, sort of as swashbucklingy as Muzz perhaps suggested in last season. But again, Zanata is one that confuses me, or has always really confused me. I don't know if he's a quality player. I don't know if he's a terrible player. or if he's a hot and cold player. I do know he's not a terrible player. I don't know if he's a consistently good player, or I don't know if he's a hot and cold player. Basically, is what I'm trying to get out of that one.
I particularly enjoyed the last 10 minutes of that. McGlenn's went from like a 4-diamond-2, so like 4-4-2 diamond, to a 5-4-1.
That's... yeah,
probably got his name off as well.
That really, isn't it? That's...
He's got his money.
He does have McGlenn the experience to start seeing out games, because he's left on the bench Mr. Championship James Keatons, who
just signed for Montrose.
Who?
On loan today, Keatons.
All right, well, that shows my knowledge is up to date.
Literally, I think about an hour ago.
That's... I remember he signed...
What's your instant reaction to that? Hot off the press.
I remember when he signed pre-contract with Wraith. Muzz and I were doing it. I don't know where you were. I went to Muzz like, why has he gone there? Like, why is another Wraith player? Or why has Wraith signed another attacking player who's going to come in? He knows the championship. And why has he moved? Like, what's... Speechless, I think.
He's not starting the game for them.
What's the point? Because who's he coming off the bench in that last game? Who are they waiting to come back and go, I can't wait till we've got X back to take on James Keaton, Mr. Championship?
You'd have thought as well with the injury to Vaughan, they kept him, wouldn't you? And I don't know, was Poplatnik on the bench on Saturday? Because he's started a few, but he's kind of dropped off it. So he's maybe got to be knocked. So he's maybe due back, to be fair. So, well, to be fair, for Morton, 4 defeats on the bounce now.
Yeah, there's something rotten down in Greenock, and I don't know what's happening. If you look at that team just now, who is it that you think out of that team could potentially play much higher? Or who is it if you're in the top half?
I like the front two.
If you're both going, right, I need January, and you've got money out of nowhere, you're like, right, we're going to pick someone up from a team that's struggling, Morton, we'll go and we'll do a wee bit of pillaging. Who would you go and take that's going to make our both better and keep our both where they are currently?
I like Riley and Muirhead, especially if Newbley's going back. You're not
telling me... Both of them have been hooked in this game, Riley and Muirhead.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything, I don't think. They were missing, I think, Jacobs and Blues. That's your engine room, isn't it? To be fair, that's your engine room.
Yeah, because you've got a tackler and energy, and you've got someone that can tackle and play a pass that rise. So
I'd maybe take one of them to Arbro. Dick Campbell would love Kyle Jacobs, I think, to be fair.
I'll give you that. He's not the biggest, but he's got a magnet for a head, isn't he?
He loves a slide tackle.
But there's good players like Straps. For me...
You just like him because he's got a long throw.
Well, I was going to say, he's in that bracket where he's good for the division. He's not a great player for the division. 6 out of 10, maybe all the time, but he'll bring a throw which he'll not like. He makes him a player you would want to have.
Now they've got Lithgow, though. Do they need this? Yeah. You're talking there about players that you'd take and could potentially do a job in a division. One team that are marching their way out of the division potentially, Kilmarnock. Another good win, despite missing a penalty. I know they're still only they're a point behind Inverness still, but they're on the march, aren't they?
I was going to say slowly and surely marching their way out of the division, but. Not really, by any means anymore, though. Fairly coming on it. Scoring almost enough goals to see them progressing.
They'll be delighted Shaw's off the mark, despite him missing that penalty.
Yeah, and I was just trying to work out in my head the way of portraying. I think to be a good title-winning team, you need to be scoring more. And I think it says it all, really, that Inverness and Killy are both high up in the table, but they've not scored a large amount, and they are relying on their solid defence. And I think you always love that Fergie quote about defences, what, attackers win
attacks win games, defences win titles.
And I think, well, yeah, there's an element of that, but at the same time, I think both Killy and Inverness probably need to be scoring more for me just to really... sort of solidify their credentials as going up. They do have, you're right, Kelly have got boys like Shaw who are now off the mark who can score them goals. Robinson, I think, will get them some goals.
He's played Robinson almost as a 10 or just off Shaw. Do you think that's Robinson's best position?
Yeah, I think from when we've seen him before, he does well to... He wins a surprising amount of headers, I think. Mm-hmm. Is what I would contribute to that. And I think if he's playing off the striker around behind, he can then go up and challenge a back four. So he can add to that the threat that Shaw carries. So he can occupy another aspect of a back three, a back four, whoever he's up against. But he's also energetic enough that he'll get himself into those positions, but then also get himself back in transition if he needs to. So if he doesn't win the header, he can still come back and he'll drop in and rat about, and he's good enough getting wide. And yeah, I think it's good to see him there when you've got Shaw, for me, who should be the focal point. I think Robinson's previously relied on being the target man when he probably shouldn't have. But I think now they'll have a target man at Kelly that everything should go through. I think Robinson will do well there. Surprised by Murray also sort of playing in that front three, four, whatever you'd call it.
Left, yeah.
That one sort of surprised me, but I don't know at the same time who would fill in sort of that position if not.
It's another one without being possession heavy here. Partick had more possession, so every result in the championship, the winning team has had the least possession.
That Partick midfield that we spoke about last season has been a good midfield that will keep it, but have they got the attackers? And again, Tiffany playing wide, where I questioned last week, is he going to get himself into those goal-scoring positions? Because it's all very well having stacks of possession like the other teams we've spoken about, but are they doing enough with it? Like, you can have loads of possession if you're just going to pass it, Doherty-Bannigan, maybe drop it back a wee bit, then between the two of them again. If they're not playing that wide into Tiffany, if they're not playing that forward, like the cutting passes, your through balls, doesn't really matter how much possession you've got. But when you've got Graham, Rudden, Tiffany all starting, you need to be getting the ball in an efficient manner, but they've obviously not.
And the clean sheet experts were at it again, Inverness. One goal conceded, seven. I think everyone of them is a banker, didn't they, given Dunfermline's situation? So it's probably better talking a bit more about Dunfermline.
I was going to try and back the future myself and avoid criticising when Dodson was talking about Inverness not having trained the back four yet on whatever radio or TV it was. Yeah. Don't need to touch them then. You're sorted. Like, don't worry about it.
It looks
you know, they just keep doing what they're doing.
Talking of back fours, it looks like Peter Grant's flick to the four. It looked to me like a 4-4-2 they were playing with Comrie at right back, Gaspazitis, I think it is, the centre-half, with Watson, and then Edwards at left-back, and then that kind of four in front of them with O'Hara and Todorov up top. So he needed that, Grant, didn't he? He needed that point, and a clean sheet, probably.
Yeah, because I'd certainly penciled in for Grant the potential of Job being on the line at some point fairly soon. Thought he could maybe get through this game, and if he'd lost, it was one of those like, well, you know, look at the league, and pre-season, you'd probably think you'd be contending with them, but it's harsh now, really, to be getting the sack after an Inverness game when Inverness are doing what they're doing. So I think now at least he can turn around and point to the fact that he held Inverness to a draw, but also not the boring Inverness that we maybe anticipated when they were winning 1-0. Inverness have shown they can score multiple and they can show that they're in a game. So for me, it's a clean sheet, but it's also quite a good clean sheet at the same time. That Inverness has got the ability to get in and about you. Whether they're doing it well enough or not, I suppose, is a different matter.
That's a good point. Talking of Peter Grant and momentum then, let's have a wee look at what you think for the fixtures upcoming this weekend. We'll get your predictions.
Well, before we fire into them, briefly, if you would entertain me. Do you think Fon Williams coming back in is a masterstroke coincidence? Do we think it's just timing that Fon Williams is now back from injury and Mehmet's gone onto the bench? Or do we think Grant's looked and gone, right, I have some players who can score, I've got some players who can create, it's maybe defensively where I'm struggling. Sort out my goalkeeper, first of all. Sort out my back four after that, and hope that while I'm doing this, Todorov, O'Hara, Dorans are going to hit stride.
I think, to be fair, it's potentially made a difference. He's an experienced goalkeeper. I'm sure he's played international. I was surprised that he dropped him at the start of the season, because I don't think goalkeeper was Dunfermline's issue last season in the slightest. He's maybe not as adept at playing the football Grant wanted if he wanted to get the ball down and play out from his keeper, but he was at Inverness for Williams when they did it for spells up there as well, so I was surprised that he got dropped, and I don't think it's a coincidence. Albeit he played against Ayr when they struggled, but he was maybe just
He's been in for a few shellings, but now he's maybe feeling more like this is me. I'm the number one and I'm ready to go here.
Yeah, that was his second game back, wasn't it? So maybe two games under the belt. That's him feeling more confident, comfortable. And I'd expect him to stay in for the foreseeable, to be honest, barring another injury or anything like that. So, like I said, just on that then, you had a 60% success rate last week, 3 out of 5. Congratulations.
Easy.
We'll get your thoughts for this week.
I was going to try and claim that the ones I got wrong were draws as well, but that's not any better.
No. You've got 1 out of 3.
Because I've still got it wrong. Doesn't matter win, lose, draw. It's still just incorrect.
And the highlight of the weekend is actually not even at the weekend. It's on Friday night. It's live on the BBC. Clash of the Titans. Our Brof Kelly.
That'd be huge, wouldn't it?
What are you saying?
This is where you like having Muzz. Just to, if I sit quietly enough, Muzz will hopefully pipe in and say something. I want to say our Brof, but I think realistically, it probably won't be an Arbroath win. You could maybe see them cancelling each other out. I think both defensively could be quite shrewd. I think you just worry that the goal scorers for Arbroath are good, but are they at the same level as like the Kelly defenders? Mm-hmm. Like, is Newbley good enough to get by the calibre that Kelly have got? Because other way around, I would say Kelly are good enough to score.
Yeah.
So I will just say draw, just to sort of hedge my bets and hope for the best.
I'm going to go for a Kelly win. I think they've got the experience and the know-how just to go there and get a result. Like you say, it's just the players have been over the course. And I think I can just see them kind of going there and grinding a result. Boys like McGinn, Blair Alston, Burke, Robinson, they've been our Brof. They're not going to get any sort of a culture shock. They know exactly what they're going up against, what they're expecting. So I think a Kelly win for that. Ayr Morton.
I think it would be very harsh of me to be going on about something rotten in Morton if I've now just started to back them against a team that's hit some sort of revival. Duffy, again, I think, like I said, he's good. He's maybe not... So just a motorbike going off behind us. He's good, but he's not maybe the league-winning good. So, you've got to see... For me, definitely, you've got to see her there. I think for others as well.
Dunfermline, Hamilton... All good games, actually. All big games.
I might begin to think that we might see a Dunfermline win here. The first win from Dunfermline. I think, like we'd said, like I'd touched on.
Hamilton bottom.
Yeah, well, I think Fawn Williams coming in, getting that run now, if he knows he's number one and he's just been waiting, that gives you more. For a defence, it's already good. You want to know who you can rely on behind you. So they're maybe still getting used to each other. I think they'll be more defensively sound, knowing that they've got a goalkeeper behind them that'll keep them out of bother. Defensively good. And Hamilton they just seem to be in all sorts.
Fair enough. Nice local one, Inverness, Queen of the South.
I'm dreading when we next speak to Muzz about this long leg derby situation. So I'm not going to include the length of journey. I'm just going to go on quality of team and Inverness will beat Queen of the South.
And on Sunday, because Wraith obviously play Celtic Thursday night in the Cup, don't they? So Wraith Partick on Sunday.
I think that'll be a Partick one. Wraith probably make a game of it, and it'll be the same thing I said about Partick last week. They'll probably get beaten, but I think they'll leave that game, if you're being objective, and go, you know what, we had a fair whack at it. If you're a Wraith fan, you'll be disappointed to lose. Partick fan, you'll be happy to win, but the Wraith fans should probably go and go, actually, you know what, we'll have done all right. So, yeah, Partick for me.
I'm going to go a draw and Ayr Morton. I think two teams cancel each other out there. I think 0-0 or 1 each. Dunfermline Hamilton, I think both teams right now would probably take a point because neither can afford to lose it. If Hamilton lose it, they go bottom. If Dunfermline lose it, they're at least 2 points off the bottom, potentially, what would that be? Potentially 5 if Morton and Hamilton both win. So I think both teams would shake hands on a point just now. I'm backing you with the Inverness victory over Queen of the South, probably a clean sheet, 2-0 maybe. And Wraith Partick, I'm going to go for, that's a tricky one actually. Normally I'd back a Wraith win at home, but having been to Parkhead Thursday night against a Partick Thistle team with legs in the middle of park, yeah, I'm going to go with you and back a and away win. So
I was almost going to change my tune when you were speaking there about the Dunfermline Hamilton, because I'm thinking if both teams go out for that, much as I've gone on about how sturdy the Dunfermline defence can be, I don't know if they can withhold. I don't know if they can go out and set up to set back, whereas I think probably Hamilton can, if depending on Jamie Hamilton's temperament and or depending on if he gets back into the team or not. I feel like Hamilton could probably set themselves up to be a bit more sturdy and just accept the fact that they might need to play quite rough for the first hour and then kick on for the last 30, or play quite rough for the first 70 and then push on for that goal in the 70. So I'll stay with what I've said, but I think it could be a bit of a ding dong, that one.
Fair. So that rounds it up. Let us know your predictions on Twitter at TurnstilesThat or in the comment section if you're on YouTube. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, enjoy your game if you're at a game this weekend, and we'll see you again next week. Cheers.
Cheerio.